I also accept this award on behalf of Africans and citizens of the world for whom the dream of peace has often turned into a nightmare of war.
There have been one or two instances of a person making the transition from some variety of warlord to Nobel Peace Laureate. Abiy Ahmed, Prime Minister of Ethiopia, may be journeying in the opposite direction.
I call upon the international community to join me and my fellow Ethiopians in our Medamar-inspired efforts of building enduring peace and prosperity in the Horn of Africa.
Ahmed won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2019, barely a year after becoming Prime Minister, for his efforts to resolve Ethiopia's simmering border conflict with Eritrea, a former province of Ethiopia which spent decades fighting its way out, which won independence in 1991 and has since become a cloistered, paranoid East African North Korea. It is barely 18 months since Abiy Ahmed accepted the Nobel Peace Gong, adumbrating the lofty ideals customary on such occasions.
Peace is a labor of love. Sustaining peace is hard work. Yet, we must cherish and nurture it. It takes a few to make war, but it takes a village and a nation to build peace.
His Ethiopia now finds itself well and truly at war, this time with itself. Earlier this week, officials on Sudan's side of its border with Ethiopia said that dozens of bodies had been recovered from the river between the two countries. Sudan calls it the Satid, Ethiopia the Tekezi. The dead appeared to be people who had either fled the fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray province or killed during it. It is not the first atrocity reported during recent violence in Ethiopia. It seems unlikely to be the last, and concern is accelerating as to just how grim this might yet get.
Disturbing videos which appear to show the killing of unarmed civilians in northern Ethiopia by people apparently dressed in Ethiopian army uniform have been obtained by the BBC.
Ahmed is the first Ethiopian leader to hail from Ethiopia's largest ethnic group, the Oromo. Prior to his arrival in power, Ethiopia's politics had long been dominated by Tigrayans, who, despite comprising just 6 or 7% of the country's 112 million people, had not taken their relegation to the margins equably. Last September, Tigray went ahead with a regional election in defiance of pandemic-related postponement of national polls. It was bait, and Ahmed took it. He ordered a suspension of federal funds. Militia attached to the dominant Tigrayan party, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, looted weapons from Ethiopian army bases. And last November, Abiy Ahmed ordered Ethiopia's army to pursue a short, sharp, and exemplary resolution to a tension which clearly vexed him. Ethiopia's former foes in Eritrea also sent troops into Tigray.
A number of small-scale celebrations were captured on social media. Here, pro-government militiamen wave their weapons in western Tigray. And a government spokesman said the capital, Mekele, had been taken with a minimum of fuss.
Things initially appeared to be proceeding more or less according to Ahmed's wishes. Ethiopia's federal forces took the Tigrayan capital, Mekele, within a few weeks, and Ahmed breezily declared operations over, and Ethiopia's government began the work of denying or occluding plentiful and plausible reports of hideous atrocities by Ethiopian troops and their Eritrean allies. But the TPLF, having begun life in the 1970s as a guerrilla insurgency, became one again. After a rebrand as the Tigray Defence Forces, they took the fight back to the Ethiopians. The TDF recaptured Mekele in June. Abiy Ahmed called a unilateral ceasefire, withdrew federal troops from Tigray, and seemed to be hoping that the TDF would be content to call it a draw. The TDF appeared, however, to have more expansive ideas. Equipped partly with kit abandoned by the retreating Ethiopians, their troops marched south into Amhara and east into Afar, the later expedition possibly a menace to Ethiopia's road and rail link to the port at Djibouti, without which Ethiopian exports and imports would more or less cease.
Whenever the aggressors came, at least they have to prepare themselves in any way to defend in any mechanism that they have.
So take up arms?
Yes.
Regional leaders in Amhara and Afar are now reportedly attempting to organise popular militias, and Abiy Ahmed has renewed his rhetoric about vanquishing the Tigrayans, likening them to the Italian invaders routed by the legions of Emperor Menelik II at the Tigrayan town of Adwa in 1896. Bad though all this is, the opportunities for it to deteriorate are manifold. At absolute worst, the nightmarish prospect of a multi-way ethnic conflict which fractures Ethiopia's federal settlement and draws in neighbouring countries. Elements among the Tigrayan leadership have already suggested a settling of accounts with Eritrea. Exchanges of fire have occurred between Ethiopian troops and their counterparts across the river in Sudan, to which thousands of refugees from Tigray have fled, and Ethiopia further accuses of Sudan of incursions into the disputed region of Al-Fashqa. Ethiopia and Sudan are also at odds over a mighty dam Ethiopia is building on the Nile, though that's a whole other explainer, and indeed has been, number 189, and you can listen to that right after this. As for the present situation, the good, well, good-ish news is that the option of a dignified climb down does remain available to both Ethiopia and Tigray. The leaders of both could make a case to their constituencies that they've made their point, recognise that they'll have to talk to each other eventually, and agree that now is as good a time as any. On recent form, however, the likelihood of one party or both overestimating themselves and underestimating the other is depressingly considerable. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.